This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Cioli podcast.
Yes, we're back to work now. And how was your Thanksgiving? Did you have a good time in the mother of all super spreader events, as CNN calls it? Welcome. Good morning. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. Great news on the vaccine front. Really great progress. And yeah, even Governor Phil Murphy over the weekend admitted that the Trump administration, this is all because of how they've accelerated the vaccine development thanks to Operation Warp Speed. 855-839-1210. Presumptive President-elect Joe Biden has announced an all-female communications team. That's right, all-female communications team. And I'm sure that there'll be some people that have some opinions to make on that. I'm just confused, though. I'm looking at this list that Greg Stocker sent me of the 50 greatest Christmas movies of all time. And as far as I'm concerned, you should take this, rip this up,
and
set it on fire.
It's a terrible list. I brought it up. Well, I mean,
this is a terrible list.
No, it's a terrible list. There's also a list of the movies or the shows you should be watching in 2020. It's also a terrible list. I just kind of put them in there, not for what they say, but as kind of a reminder to kind of do that stuff. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, but can I just say this should be thrown out because of all the 50 movies. Where's Die Hard?
I know.
Yeah.
Where's Die Hard on the list?
Yeah.
How can you do the 50 best Christmas movies if you don't include Die Hard on this?
It's not a complete list. It's not a good list.
Again, what's their one?
It's not even close to a good list.
What's their top movie?
Jingle All the Way is on it. Jingle All the Way from 1996 is on it. Are you kidding me?
That should be thrown right in the trash.
Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sinbad? Feud over
a doll,
yeah, and Jingle All the Way.
Sinbad
Turbo
should.
Man. Turbo Man was the doll that they wanted,
yes.
Right?
Yep.
Sinbad should, you know, be. I mean, he's had some very underrated shows.
And then they have some slaughter movies on here too, which I kind of appreciate, but still, I wouldn't exactly call
slaughter.
Them Christmas movies.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, Christmas Evil, a favorite of cult film legend John Waters. This patient, evocative story of a toy factory employee. Unraveling over the holiday season is probably the most formally inventive, daring, and genuinely unsettling movie on the list. I mean, I get it, but, you know, that's like saying Silent Night, Deadly Night is a Christmas movie.
Well,
it wouldn't exactly, you know.
When you do the 50 best, I think the pickings are a little slim, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, you're probably right about that. We're like no angels. Which is a great crime movie. I just never thought of it as a Christmas movie before. You know what I mean? And then Ernest Saves Christmas in 1998, which I wish he hadn't. I mean, that movie is so bad. Don't you kind of wish that he failed a little bit?
Yes.
Would you just a little bit?
Here's a question for you. Number 16. Would you consider Gremlins a Christmas?
What?
A Christmas?
No, with Gremlins. Gremlins is not a Christmas movie. Stop.
It kind of is.
It's the great debate.
Christmas time in there.
Yeah, but, and the Gremlins were the Christmas present, is that why?
Yeah.
Is that what makes it a Christmas movie, I wonder?
Well, I think anything that is set around Christmas time or has a Christmas, like, theme or scene in it is considered a Christmas movie, at least according to this list by Thrillist.
I will give them credit for this. They did put Trading Places on here.
Yes.
I would argue that Trading Places is a Christmas movie.
Yes.
I would argue that. But
top
they have
10,
National
though?
Lampoon's Christmas Vacation is number 10. That should be number 1 or 2.
Yes, agreed.
Yeah, easily.
100%.
What about Home
easily.
Alone?
Easily. I mean, they have the Muppet Christmas movie beating National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, okay. That right there is why you throw it in the trash.
Right? Home Alone is on the list. That's good. Miracle on 34th Street, the original. Yes. Christmas Story. Like, their final list, It's a Wonderful Life, number 1. Great. Christmas Story 1983, number two, great. Number three, Miracle on 34th Street, the original, not that low energy remake that they did.
This is so bad.
Number four, Home Alone. Yes. I mean, I would say Home Alone is up there. And the, yes. But then the Muppet Christmas Carol.
If they're
really?
Gonna,
that's a decent Christmas movie, like especially for kids. But like, I don't know if it's number five, you know,
if
like Christmas Vacation is not in the top five. I mean, that's this. For that reason alone, this list should be thrown out.
If they're going to put Muppets, they might as well also put Star Wars A Holiday Special from 1987, 88.
That was a good one, actually.
Elf, number six, great movie.
Yep.
The Apartment from 1960 with Jack Lemmon. I mean, Shirley MacLaine. Okay. They even say, is it a conventional Christmas movie? No, not exactly. But I don't know. I mean, it's and then A Christmas Carol from 1951. The Nightmare Before Christmas, number 9. Number 10, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Then Bad Santa, number 11. Bad Santa should definitely be in the top 10.
Yes, 100%.
Right?
Yep. Billy Bob Thornton, just amazing, classic. Amazing performance. Classic movie.
This list is terrible. What a terrible list.
I agree.
And if any fringe Christmas movie, A Nightmare Before Christmas is not a Christmas movie.
That's we had this debate too.
Because that's Halloween.
House.
It's just a Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah,
it's, like, I agree. It's not a Christmas movie. It's a Halloween movie. Let it stay a Halloween movie.
100%.
It's the best Halloween movie ever made. But it's not a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is that, and this is why Disney is awful. So Disney bought the rights to that movie, as you know, and they own it now. And so for Christmas, you also see Jack, the Pumpkin King. Right, as part of the Christmas decorations that are being sold and everything else.
Yep.
So you could make your house into a Nightmare Before Christmas theme if you wanted to, because the evil lords at Disney figure out they can profit maximize the heck out of this thing.
I wonder if
it's Jack and Sally. Must be.
But Tim Burton never meant it to be a Christmas movie, right?
Yeah.
No.
From what I remember.
100%.
Wonder if there's a warning label when you watch it on Disney Plus.
Oh, I'm sure there is. Some culture's been appropriated, the pumpkin culture or something, right?
Pumpkin.
You know? I don't know. I mean, is it hip with millennials to do a Nightmare Before Christmas theme?
Yes. Yeah. I was
worried about this.
I have a few friends that are absolutely obsessed with Nightmare Before Christmas. And they
really
do. Yeah, they go all out. An old friend that I went to school with, he has the Jack tattoo on himself. It's crazy. Like, I like the movie. I'm not obsessed with it to that level, so I wouldn't be shocked if there's Christmas themed with my generation with Nightmare Before Christmas.
I think they must do it to be cool. Like, oh, look at us. We're being alternative. We're doing the Nightmare Before Christmas, and all you're doing is serving Disney. All right, it's all you're doing, tough guy. Good morning, Dawn. How are we looking today? Rainy Monday.
Yes, it's going to be very rainy. Good morning. Zilla Show News. A coastal flood advisory in effect. A powerful storm heading toward us right now, backing high winds, rain, severe thunderstorms. That full forecast in just a moment. We do have new details from Philadelphia police coming in. They say a robbery suspect was fatally shot when a customer fought back. This was at a Northeast Philadelphia eatery. So here's the latest from police this morning. This is happening. This happened at Wingstop on Cotman Ave, open for takeout. A gunman enters the store wearing a mask and gloves, points the gun at three employees, orders them to empty the drawer. But a customer, hungry for some wings to go, walks in, talking on his phone, oblivious to what's going on, doesn't realize he's walking in on an armed robbery. The robber points the gun at that customer, demands his cell phone. But guess what? The customer, who's in his late 20s, pulls his own gun, fires one shot at the perpetrator. The perp dies at the scene. No charges expected, according to police this morning. They're reviewing. This is all caught on surveillance video. The customer is fully cooperating there. Nobody else injured. We want to update the condition of presumed President-elect Joe Biden, who needed a doctor's visit yesterday at a Newark, Delaware hospital. Mr. Biden reportedly slipped while playing with his dog. Major is the dog's name. Mr. Biden's doctor says that he fractured his foot. He'll wear a walking boot for several weeks. Biden just turned 78 last week. The dog, by the way, was not injured. A lot of people on social media want to know if he fell on the dog. No, the dog named Major is one of two of the Biden's German Shepherds and is set to become the first rescue dog to live in the White House. If he does, Biden's adopted Major from the Delaware Humane Society in 2018. So there's that.
Something fishy about this story. It's all I'm going to say.
So you think...
I don't think anything. I'm just saying there's something fishy.
What do you think?
I don't know.
You think he slipped and fell, and then they said, we'll make it about the adopted rescue dog. And then
we'll
focus on that.
I'm just saying, you know. Is there any video footage of him with the dog? Is there, are we just taking this at their word?
Well, there's footage. There's no video of the slippage. Like maybe if somebody had their Ring doorbell on in
it just sounds
Delaware.
A lot cooler to say he's playing with the dog and he fell versus he's just walking and fell because he's about to be 25th Amendmented. You know what I mean? That's all. I'm not saying anything more at the moment. Okay. Anyway. What else?
We're also, I just tweeted out actually that we have more vaccine news. So we'll talk about that coming up, but some really good, encouraging vaccine news. It is Cyber Monday. We'll be talking about that today. NBC 10 First Alert forecast today. It's going to be warm, 66 degrees today. But again, these heavy thunderstorms headed our way by 9 o'clock this morning and allegedly will clear out before game time for the Philadelphia Eagles and Seahawks. 8:15 game time. So tomorrow, mostly cloudy, breezy, high of 47 degrees. We remain pretty much in the mid to upper 40s Wednesday and Thursday. And then Friday, we go up to 52 degrees with bright sunshine. I'm Dawn. That's it for now for Zeila Show News Live, always on the radio.com app.
All right, Dawn, thank you very, very much. Donald Trump, as you know, the president appointed Amy Coney Barrett to the United States Supreme Court, and it was a great move by the president. And the Supreme Court over the weekend smacked down New York State on their restrictions on houses of worship. It was great. And I think they're going to do it again when it comes to New Jersey. So in a 5-4 ruling late Wednesday night, the U.S. Supreme Court barred the state of New York from imposing strict attendance limits on religious services, a major win for religious freedom. This was after Orthodox Jewish group, they and along with the Roman Catholic Diocese of Brooklyn sued Governor Andrew Cuomo for discrimination. That's right. Discriminatory targeting of religious groups with COVID-19 restrictions as houses of worship were being held to far more stringent standards than neighboring businesses were. And they argue now that even though the areas fell into red or orange zones, which under state law allowed only 10 or 25 people into a house of worship at any time, regardless of the building's capacity, they say at the same time, though, however, stores and businesses deemed essential were given far laxer standards, some even lacking any limits on their capacity whatsoever. Newly minted Justice Amy Coney Barrett joined Justices Samuel Alito, Neil Gorsuch, Brett Kavanaugh, and Clarence Thomas in support of the aggrieved religious groups, while Chief Justice John Roberts and Justices Stephen Breyer, Elena Kagan, Sono Sotomayor dissented. You see what you have here, right? You have a 5-4 split. John Roberts is at this point, I mean, he's fully lost. He's fully turned to the dark side. And please, please, you know. But if you look at the 5-4 split, Amy Coney Barrett, Samuel Alito, Neil Gorsuch, Brett Kavanaugh, Clarence Thomas, the true legacy of Donald Trump's presidency is going to be this conservative court. I also think the vaccine, too. But this conservative court right here. And what irony, too. You know, the guy that they said was a big New York liberal developer would appoint the justices on the Supreme Court that would smack down New York State's arbitrary, discriminatory rules against houses of worship. The per curiam opinion determined that New York's targeted responses are in direct opposition to the First Amendment, stating even in a pandemic, the Constitution cannot be put away and forgotten. Yes, beautiful. The restrictions at issue here, by effectively barring many from attending religious services, strike at the very heart of the First Amendment's guarantee of religious liberty. Bravo. Bravo. We've talked about this a lot. You know, the First Amendment is not something, and the Constitution is not something, and the Bill of Rights isn't something that is only around if things are good. SCOTUS determined that the exorbitant limitations were in violation of the First Amendment's protection of free expression due to the obvious discrimination and granted both groups the injunction they sought. While neither group is currently in the red or orange zone, the Supreme Court granted it to grant the injunction in case the areas return to a heightened level. Gorsuch, Neil Gorsuch, a Trump appointee as well, wrote a concurring opinion, which determined that the unfair application of restrictions on churches and synagogues, but not hardware stores, acupuncturists, liquor stores, bicycle repair shops, certain signage companies, accountants, lawyers, and insurance agents was a clear violation of the free exercise clause in the First Amendment. Through much of his opinion, Gorsuch focused on the threats of these discriminatory policies on the Constitution, writing, even if the Constitution has taken a holiday during the pandemic, it cannot become a sabbatical. That's a great point, too. You know, there's one thing to make an argument that the government has the ability in an emergency to tamp down on certain things that are constitutionally protected rights in a very short window of time. But how long does that time go on? And that's a question that I've been asking since day one, since March. You know, how long does this go on with these arbitrary rulings and you know, who's in charge and politicians making all the rules and the Constitution seeming like it doesn't exist anymore? And Gorsuch's point is, you know, even if the Constitution is taking a holiday because of COVID, cannot become a sabbatical. He further highlighted the arbitrary nature of who determines what businesses are essential, writing, indeed, the governor is remarkably frank about this. His judgment... In his judgment, laundry and liquor, travel and tools are all essential, while traditional religious exercises are not. That is exactly the kind of discrimination the First Amendment forbids. Gorsuch, in his, Kavanaugh, in his concurring opinion, focused on the absurdity of restricting buildings that can hold hundreds to just 10 or 25 people, noting that Cuomo's limits were far more severe than other states which impose similar controls on religious services. And then Roberts, John Roberts, the complete and utter sellout, focused his dissent on the fact that the injunctive relief is not needed at the time, as the regions housing both the both groups that sued are no longer in the red or orange zones. So he did the old, well, this isn't relevant anymore since there's no violation, so I don't have to worry about ruling on this case in favor of the plaintiffs. Now, you know what's fascinating about this now? Think about it. Donald Trump has appointed three justices of the Supreme Court, three, Kavanaugh, Gorsuch, and Amy Coney Barrett. And the three of them all joined together with the other two great conservatives on the court, Alito and Clarence Thomas, to stand up for religious liberty and to say to the government, look, your power is not unlimited. We the people have power here. We the people have a right to be able to enjoy these activities. You don't get to shut these things down indefinitely. You don't get the ability to do that. Breyer's dissent, Justice Stephen Breyer, which was joined by Kagan and Sotomayor, claimed that the blatant discrimination and assault on religious liberties were not enough to grant an injunction due to the severity of COVID-19. Sotomayor, joined by Kagan, wrote in her dissent, I see no justification for the court's change of heart, and I fear that granting applications such as the ones filed by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Brooklyn will only exacerbate the nation's suffering. Maybe, or maybe people will pray away the COVID. Maybe not. Doesn't matter. It's not up to her to say. That's the point. She said the Constitution does not forbid states from responding to public health crises through regulations that treat religious institutions equally or more favorably than comparable secular institutions, ignoring the fact that the religious institutions were not treated equally, but rather unfavorably compared to secular institutions. Bottom line is this. You don't get in this country the ability to say, okay, Walmart, you can have as many people inside as you want, but the church, you can't. You just don't get the right to do that in this country. And this is a great decision by the Supreme Court, an absolutely great decision on the Supreme by the Supreme Court. And it's and a sign of what's to come, by the way. You know, had it not been for Donald Trump, I mean, if you had had Hillary Clinton, she'd won that election. Her three justices would have sided with the other liberals on the court, and it would have probably been a 7-2 ruling, where you would have had seven versus Alito and Clarence Thomas, saying that of course the government can shut down churches and treat houses of worship differently. Of course they can. The Supreme Court has also set a deadline for the state of New Jersey to respond to religious gathering restrictions. The state officials must respond by December 3rd. Samuel Alito has called for a response from New Jersey officials after a church and a synagogue petitioned the court to intervene in their lawsuit, alleging the state unequally applies COVID-19 restrictions to religious activities. The point is this. You know, we've watched the hypocrisy of all of these restrictions. We've seen it. We've seen the threat to liberty. And now you have a Supreme Court that's going to step up and say, not on my watch, which is very, very good. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. And that is really the true legacy of Donald Trump. It will be the United States Supreme Court. And boy, am I glad Amy Coney Barrett's there. Absolutely fantastic. Listen, Dr. Mike Veneria is going to make you smile by giving you the smile of your dreams. I hear from people all the time. They tell me, Rich, thank you for suggesting that I go see Dr. Mike. Well, you're welcome. He's a great guy. And my whole family's dentist, by the way. I go see him, my wife, my parents, my kids. And Dr. Mike does those very complicated dental implants. That's right. So when you need a new smile, whether you're looking for pediatric, general dentistry, cosmetic dentistry, or implant dentistry, look no further than Dr. Mike Veneria. His office is going to give you the best treatment, no anxiety, and you'll have a great smile. There's simply no one better at dental implants than Dr. Mike. He's one of South Jersey's top implant dentists. Implant dentistry, is an art form, and Dr. Mike gives you the self-confidence to boost your smile. So schedule your free implant consultation today. Go to VenariaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VenariaDental.com, or 856-786-2020, 856-786-2020. My dentist, Dr. Mike Veneria, VenariaDental.com.
60 minutes of nonstop talk. This is the Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
When we're talking about all these restrictions, it's a good reminder, obviously, the coronavirus is still out there. Check your temperature twice a day. The Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer, our big story sponsor. Protect your family with the Exergen Temporal Scanner. It's the only home thermometer used and recommended by hospitals, physicians, and nurses. Stay safe with Exergen. So I'm very happy with this call by the Supreme Court. I think it's great. It's a real smackdown to these totalitarians that run things and are so arbitrary with their decisions and everything else. The Nation Magazine published a hilariously brutal takedown of Andrew Cuomo, the love gov. They actually titled it, by the way, The Collapse of the Cuomo Sexual. Did you even know that that was a thing, by the way, the Cuomo Sexual? Did you even know that? The Collapse of the Cuomo Sexual. They wrote, the subtitle below it is, St. Andrew of COVID, our savior of the spring, is now milking his 15 minutes of fame for an extra 30. The Nation is a very liberal magazine, yes. Just for the record.
Very liberal.
I mean, and they took a lot of shots at him. It was great. The downfall of the Cuomo sexual. I'd really, you know, mocking his long-winded press conferences that he has over and over and over and over and over and over again. But it's a good example of a lot of people think that Cuomo is a clown, not just on this program, but on lots of places around the country. The Cuomo sexual. Speaking of Greg, anything good on my cut sheet today?
Oh, wow. Okay. Should we?
What? On the cut sheet.
So on Wednesday, before we all broke for Thanksgiving, we played a lot of the media's reaction to the Joe Biden cabinet officials that he announced.
Oh, yes.
And all the love, you know, one of them compared him to the, you know, Avengers coming in to save everybody. So there was a little montage was made up by our friends at Grabian about how the media is just in heat, loves the cabinet picks that Joe Biden has made. Some of these you will hear because we played it on Wednesday. Others are new, but this is a nice little compilation of it all. Cut to.
I'd like to start on the historic nature of some of Joe Biden, the president-elect's pick.
The team that Biden has put forward is incredibly qualified, perhaps the most qualified cabinet that we're ever going to have.
Ever. A historic appointment. History-making.
A historic first. That's historic. Also historic.
Historic.
Historic. Historic.
Drink.
A pick there.
Is there any one of these picks in particular that kind of stands out to you?
I think they're all outstanding.
They are experienced. They are well-prepared. Boy, how refreshing is that?
And it's very refreshing.
I was talking to a Democrat who just said, this also felt like the Avengers. It felt like we're being rescued from this craziness that we've all lived through from the last 4 years, and now here are the superheroes to come and save us all.
This is like being at the end of The Wizard of Oz.
Well, this is like the 1980s Celtics basketball team.
Trump really had the Z team. Wow. This is really the A team.
The A team for the country.
They are manifestly experienced and competent.
The word competence been thrown around, qualified.
Very coherent.
Calmness.
Deep knowledge.
Kindness.
Deep commitment.
Professionalism.
momentum is back. Expertise is back.
And it's also nice to take a look at a group of appointees that don't look like a restricted all-white country club.
Jake Sullivan, as the leader of the band, is the perfect choice.
She is perfectly suited.
With Alejandro, you're going to get competent, gifted leader, kind, thoughtful, brilliant. I can't think of a better person. Amazing.
Let me get your thoughts about Tony Blinken.
I can't think of anybody better.
I think tonight, maybe I'll be able to start going to sleep.
I mean, all I have to say is everybody look up, because it's a different way of living now, right? I mean, it is. I was ready to sing the whole Wiz soundtrack today.
We'll sing it together.
All righty then. Well, very caught it up the middle of the media. You know they're going to be the watchdog of this administration to make sure that they're all doing the right thing.
Definitely.
Bravo to the media for really being that fourth estate, Dawn, am I right? To really check them. Check and hold accountable the people in power. I mean, bravo.
That's what journalists are supposed to do, you know?
Now, Greg, that montage, very similar to the montage after Trump's cabinet was picked in 2017. Yeah. Very similar.
By the way, just one point of clarification there. They in one clip, somebody says this is not going to look like an all white club or whatever like that is, you know, the Trump administration. Yet they compared it to the 80s Celtics, which for most people was kind of an all white team. I mean, yeah, Larry Bird. So like probably not the best. I mean, there were African-Americans on that team. Yes. But it was really known for the whiteness of that team was striking. So probably not the best comparison.
There was a lot of whiteness on that team.
There was, which is just, you know.
He's not wrong.
I mean, also the Avengers, with the exception of Black Panther, most of them are white, right? So
there's a female in there.
That out too.
There's a few women in there, one or two.
There were a few women on there. Well, and you know, Biden's new communications director, the press secretary, is going to be Jen Psaki, who was Hillary Clinton's spokesperson. But he chose her over the woman who was his spokesperson during the campaign, who happens to be black.
Oh boy!
Oh man!
Oh boy!
So I'm just saying, you know.
Oh God!
He chose her over, you know. I mean, it's kind of awkward, I would think. I don't know, a little bit awkward, maybe, just a tad. The all-female squad that's going to be the if you go to if you look at his website with the announcement, President-elect Joe Biden, presumed, and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris announced members of the White House senior communications staff. You'll hear a lot from the media on how incredibly historic this is as well, how incredibly historic, so historic. Here are the people that are going to be in charge. Ready? Elizabeth Alexander will be communications director for the First Lady. So they are going with First Lady and not First Partner. That's a question that I had, because you know in California, it's known as the First Partner.
Oh.
Yes. Kate Bedingfield will be White House communications director. Ashley Etienne will be communications director for the Vice President. Karine Jean-Pierre will be Principal Deputy Press Secretary. Jen Psaki will be the White House Press Secretary. Simone Sanders will be Senior Advisor and Chief Spokesperson for the Vice President.
She was a Bernie Sanders gal, wasn't she?
Simone was, yes. Yeah. But then she was a Senior Advisor on the Biden-Harris campaign.
Okay.
Pili Tobar, Deputy White House Communications Director. That'll be the team. That is the team of broads that'll be around.
That's what
Bernie Sanders said when he heard the announcement.
Megaphone Bernie.
Oh boy. Megaphone Bernie has.
Oh, you didn't hear his reaction to this?
No, I didn't.
Oh, he had some things to say about this, as you can imagine. Yeah, he did. He had some thoughts on this team. He's not happy. He's very cranky right now, by the way. He's very cranky. A lot of Clinton people in that mix,
yeah,
you know?
And the broads. Yeah.
I'm just saying, so I'm just pointing that out to you because, you know. It is what it is, right, as they say. But Bernie's just not, you know, not happy. And you want to keep Bernie happy, I would think, if you're in this situation, right? By the way, I want to keep you happy, so I'm going to give you the greatest gift idea for everybody on your list. Hanukkah starts when, Dawn? You said a couple days?
December 10th.
December 10th.
Already.
And do your Christmas shopping today very easily. As you're sitting in your chair, go to omahasteaks.com right now. As soon as you get there, you're going to see a search bar at the top. Put in my name, Zeoli, Z-E-O-L-I. Letter Z, E-O-L-I. Put it in there, and then you're going to get my exclusive Deluxe Grillers assortment. Perfectly aged top sirloin steaks, meats, amazing side dishes, and infamous Omaha Steaks desserts. And because you're my listener, you're also going to get 4 free Omaha Steaks burgers and a free digital meat thermometer at an exclusive price available only to my listeners. OmahaSteaks.com, enter code ZEOLI right at the top, and you get the extra burgers, you get the pricing, and you get the extra gift for every serious griller, the digital meat thermometer. Now, this matters, right? Because you're going to be bringing the steakhouse experience to everybody on your list. And I can tell you this for a fact. I sent them last year to my dad, my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law. I sent them to my in-laws. Everybody, my boss, everybody that got these loved them. And nobody returned it. Nobody ever said, it's my wrong size. I want to take this sweater back. They returned sweaters, not steak. Omaha Steaks, they're flash frozen, vacuum sealed, safely delivered in a cooler, shows up right on your door, dry ice, and stays ready to cook in the freezer for months. It's the perfect gift, but you have to go to OmahaSteaks.com and you have to enter my promo code ZEOLI, Z-E-O-L-I, to get this amazing gift. Everybody loves steak. Everybody on your list is going to love this. No one is going to be disappointed when this big, giant cooler shows up on their doorstep from you this holiday season. OmahaSteaks.com. Put in my name, ZEOLI, right in the search bar, OmahaSteaks.com.
You're listening to 60 Minutes of Nonstop Talk. The Rich ZEOLI Show. On Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. WPHT HD. WOGL HD3. Philadelphia. Live from the Malamud & Associates Law Studios.
But you know, as I look at all the issues of the day today, I think that what we really need, and this has been something that I've been dealing with a lot. We really need a couple things. First of all, we need to have some radical leftist policies adopted by Biden. Don't you think,
yes,
Greg? I mean, we really do. And I'm just wondering if anyone in the media is calling for this.
Well, it's funny you say that. Saturday morning now, there's a show called Velshi. Saturday morning. It took
Saturday morning. It used to be the Saturday morning cartoons. Now it's Velshi.
No,
same caliber.
He had on Nicole Hannah Jones, who is a writer for the New York Times Magazine, and they want more social justice in this administration, and they're pushing for it. This is cut six.
When we look at the priorities that this government has, whether it's COVID or climate, what the incoming administration is doing is they're thinking about it as an all of government solution. So they're putting COVID people in every department. They're putting climate people, you know, they're going to have a domestic climate czar who's going to oversee every department's interaction with climate and climate change. It feels like that's what really has to happen with social justice. It's not sort of one person or one job. It's the idea that everybody all over government has got to look at what the social inequities are and figure out how to address them, both in the government and in the private sector.
There we go.
Absolutely.
The social justice czar.
Not just one, Rich. Every department is going
to
have
to. Every department has to have the social justice czar. It's like the old Soviet Union when they had somebody sitting there in every department. Reporting back to the communist secretary or the gambling casinos that they have the states right there, the Casino Control Commission right on the floor. You know what I mean? Social justice czar. Hi, I'm the Department of Labor social justice czar. Oh, I'm Department of State social justice czar. You? OMB czar. Social justice. Czar. I think it's great. It's just a team of social justice czars invading our government. Fantastic.
Every department is going to have
every
one.
Department. The That's Department of Defense Social Justice Czar. Is this war politically correct? No, it's not. I love it. God. Is there more to that clip?
Yeah.
What many people don't know is every federal agency actually has a civil rights division. There is a civil rights division in the Department of the Treasury. There is a civil rights division in the department, the Environmental Protection Agency. There's a civil rights division in HUD. There's a civil rights division in the education department. In the transportation department, the problem is, depending on the administration, that civil rights division is either disempowered or empowered. And so, of course, what social justice advocates are hoping for is that you see those civil rights divisions really being empowered.
It's amazing.
I love the Department of Transportation social justice czar. You know? We got to make sure that these roads can accommodate people that don't know how to drive. Social justice, baby.
Well, that's not, that's
and then safe. Biden appoints the all-female communication staff,
which is very fitting considering that women never shut up. They don't stop talking, so it works out very well. Joe, you're not going left enough yet. I'm going to pull the strings harder, but in the meantime, you know these broads are going to keep talking and talking and talking, right? That's what they do, Joe. You are aware of this, Joe?
But Megaphone Bernie cannot be happy about that fact, no. Right?
No, I mean, it's not him, and also it's a lot of, you know, over 30, as he would call them, broads.
All these broads, okay, first of all, they're long on the tooth. That's number one. I got to watch this Jen Psaki up there. If I want sake, I'll go get sushi, okay?
Come on, that's not
and,
right.
And here's the other thing, too. You're never going to hear last question. 10, 12 hours, they're going to be lecturing us. It's just what they do, Joe. Joe.
Hello?
Joe. Joe. Joe.
Yeah, no, this is, Bernie cannot be happy with this.
Yeah, good.
By the way, Jen Psaki, her birthday is tomorrow and she turns 41. I'm sure Bernie does. No.
Joe, not for nothing, but I got this hot little number, AOC. You put her up there and the Americans will want to watch, not this old Psaki drink. What is this? I like my Psaki vintage like my whiskey, but still. This is a little too aged, even for Bernie. You know what I mean? Plus, I don't like redheads. They're very...
There's come on. You know, there's nothing wrong with redheads.
He's a nasty old man. What can I tell you?
Raggedy Ann.
I want to see him debate with somebody on the communications staff from Biden. You know what I mean? It'll be that whole, you know, ooh, look at you, press secretary. Oh, biggity, whoopity, friggin' deal.
No.
It's going to be a lot of that, I would think, too. I don't know.
He's very upset.
I think personally that this is very historic. You know, no men up there at the podium. I think it's a good thing. It's a very, very good thing. Yeah. And there won't be any men up there because Kamala Harris is going to take out Joe Biden as soon as we get there, so he'll never be up there either. Look at that.
Oh, boy, yeah.
I'm sorry, Dawn, you were going to say?
Well, no, I was going to say it's interesting to me that, you know, we see all these headlines about women in the communications team, but like, wasn't Sarah Sanders the first mom of young kids to have her? Like, it's interesting to me. Kayleigh McEnany was a breast cancer survivor.
Dana Perino was Bush's press secretary. Yeah. They act like this is the first time women are going to be behind the podium.
They do.
Like, they really had a shattered glass to get there.
Right. But Kellyanne
Perino
Conway.
I remember under Clinton, the communications director was a woman named George Stephanopoulos. But it was Dana Perino. Sin. So I don't know how this is exactly that historic. You know what I mean? But
white guy, George Stephanopoulos.
Yeah. George Stephanopoulos was communications director. Also, Dee Dee Myers. Remember Dee Dee Myers?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. They didn't like each other very, very much, as you can imagine.
But George and Dee Dee didn't?
No. But that's what Dee Dee Myers killed him, you know.
No,
I read that she killed George Stephanopoulos, and the political guy, not the unbiased journalist on Good Morning America.
Yeah.
The political guy, George Stephanopoulos, who has also not been seen in weeks, so I don't know. I'm not sure what happened to him.
By the way, you're not wrong here, because ABC This Week, we have a few clips from ABC This Week, and George nowhere to be found. So
Nowhere to be found?
No.
Do we have another clip you'd like to play right now?
Martha Raddatz was the host this week. Yeah, so Matthew Dowd, also from ABC, was on ABC This Week with not George Stephanopoulos. He's suggesting that we need, you know, we were talking about all these czars, we need a democracy czar. Oh. I'm not really sure how that would work, what they would do, but I figured Rich would want to hear this when I saw this clip. Cut five.
I think one thing that I think Joe Biden, if I were him, would do is try to put somebody in a cabinet level position, whether it's a czar, over democracy and the institution of democracy in this country. What we've seen over the course of the last few years, and especially the last month, is an attack on the democratic institutions of our country. It's a lot like water pipes in our country, Martha, where you can't just ignore them for 80 or 90 years and think they're all fine. We have to do repair on the institutions and the infrastructure of democracy. I think that's really important. And I think that's really, really important for Joe Biden to recognize that 74 million people voted against him. And there's questions in a lot of people's minds about the institutions of democracy.
You know what? He's right. We need a COVID. We need a democracy czar to oversee the social justice warrior czars. And then we need a czar. I'm the czar. I oversee the czars. So call me Zarzar.
No, I don't.
Zarzar.
That's what Bernie should do.
I'll be the Zaza of the broads who are up at the podium going, okay, wrap it up. Let's go wrap it up. We get it. Wait, too many details. We got it. I'm the wrap it up czar. That's my job. I go, wrap it up, lady.
Zarzar.
I'm still baffled that Megaphone Bernie thinks that Jen Psaki's a drink. I just can't get over that. I mean, he's.
I had a Jen Psaki one time in Bangkok when I was business with the communist government of China, and I thought it was delicious. But
not the same thing.
Bernie tells all his friends, you know,
spelled differently.
Oh, sake? Yeah, I've had that. No, the drink. What? This one doesn't quit. It's like a bottomless glass of sake, if you know what I mean. It doesn't stop.
He's not going to be happy. Yeah, no. Not good.
Oh, God.
You say Sarah Sanders was a mom, too, Dawn?
Oh, boy.
You're right?
Sorry, I just started coughing.
Oh, my gosh.
No, I think she was the first mom of young children. Oh. To be the, you know, White House spokesperson.
You know, I don't think any of these women have young children that are on his team.
No, I don't know.
No, because they're all over 40, because they're too, they're too old, Joe.
Barren broads.
Can I get a little eye candy? Can a man get some eye candy at a press press briefing?
Come on, no.
Is it too much to ask?
Very sexist, Megaphone.
As you're up there not accepting my policies, could you at least give me eye candy? That's all I ask.
Give me my
policies or eye candy, one or the other.
I mean, it's a fair point, I think. I don't know. 855-839-1210 is the number. 855-839-1210. So mean. Listen, speaking of eye candy, you know what is beautiful? Diamond earrings on a woman's ears. 1-carat diamond stud earrings, beautifully wrapped and shipped by my buddy Lee Pervorsky for just $1,995. That's right. Beautiful 1-carat diamond stud earrings. In fact, Lee texted me last night. He said we sold another pair. So they only have, I mean, they're pretty much almost done with this special deal. So get there now. Go to llpavorsky.com. llpavorsky.com. Click the big red button. All right. Supplies are limited. Do it today. llpavorsky.com. Right. Eye candy, Dawn. I mean, beautiful, stunning diamond earrings. You can't beat that.
This is a timeless gift. And here's the thing. Like they're advertising all these little diamond. They're like little diamond chips on, you know what I mean? You see them all over the internet. These are 1-carat. Stunning, high-quality diamond earrings. You see them. They're gorgeous. So there's a difference.
Let your broad light up with the beautiful LL Pavorsky special.
Because women know the quality. Do you know what I'm saying?
I'm going after these diamonds with my luxury tax in 2021, so you better get moving.
Wow. Buy now, right? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Buy now before that broad, I mean, your wife or your sister or whatever goes to prison like my wife does. Get one for your gumada, whatever you need. llpavorsky.com.
He's just giving options.
Yeah.
You know?
Will you be getting some for Andrea?
So let's see. Biden is not adopting my policies. I get no eye candy at my briefings. If he pardons my wife, it's war.
Oh, no.
War. War.
Andrea, yes. Andrea will be getting a nice pair of beautiful diamond earrings. Beautiful, yes. llpavorsky.com. Okay, do that. And also, I should mention to you as well, You know, I set another person that was on Bernie's radar, of course, is Tulsi Gabbard. Tulsi Gabbard, who's urged Trump to grant clemency to Julian Assange and Edward Snowden. And look, I think she's 100% right. The president should do that. I will discuss that with you in just a moment. But she wants the Espionage Act of 1917 changed. And after these guys have been charged under it, of course, this goes along with when Carter Page now suing for $75 million, suing the FBI for $75 million. We're in the middle of nonstop talk right now. I tell you, a lot of people in this country right now are thinking to themselves, I got to get out of some of these cities in America, these liberal cities. New York City is no longer on the top 10 wealthiest list. Can you believe that? Well, look, if you want out of Philadelphia or anywhere in Pennsylvania, please reach out to my friends at EZHomesPA.com. EZHomesPA can make the process easy and hassle-free for you to get out. They'll buy your house as is. No realtor fees, no escrow fees, no repairs. Just sell as is. No open houses with strangers walking through and touching your stuff. No. You can sell on your timeline. Close in days, close in months. You're going to get a very fair offer and avoid all the hassles of a traditional sale. So if you're ready to sell your house, do it today. It's the easy solution. EasyHomesPA.com. EasyHomesPA.com. Sell your house, 215-608-6005. 215-608-6005 or EZ, letter Z, Homes PA, PA, EasyHomesPA.com. This is the no-brainer way to sell your home, EasyHomesPA.com.
You're in the middle of 60 minutes of nonstop talk. This is the Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
And yes, Tulsi Gabbard a while ago had put out a message that she wants a number of people pardoned by President Trump, and I think he should do it. There's a video message she put out from October 6th. She talked about granting clemency to both men, both Julian Assange and Edward Snowden. Now, you know, when Edward Snowden years ago first broke the news of the NSA was spying on us, for a lot of people, they thought he was a traitor at the time. I think now, though, you can at least acknowledge he's a whistleblower. You don't have to call him a hero if you don't want to, but what he did do was he let the American people know their government was spying on them. So he's a whistleblower at the very least and should be protected under federal law. This is what Tulsi Gabbard had to say.
Every single one of us as Americans are guaranteed basic fundamental rights and freedoms that are enshrined in our Constitution. But we cannot take these freedoms for granted. I've introduced legislation to stand up for and to protect brave whistleblowers who've come forward to expose illegal actions within our own government or egregious abuses of power, and to reform the Espionage Act to make sure that if a whistleblower is prosecuted under the Espionage Act, that they will have their fair day in court, something that is currently not allowable under the law as it stands today. So first, I introduced HRES 1162 with my colleague, Congressman Matt Gaetz, that very simply calls on our government to drop all charges against Edward Snowden for the actions that he took in the public interest to expose a mass government surveillance program on all Americans that violates our privacy and civil liberties and that courts deemed illegal more than once. I also introduced HRES 1175 with my colleague Congressman Tom Massey, which calls for the same action, for the government to drop all charges against Julian Assange, who also acted in the public interest as he published information to expose lies and egregious abuses of power in our own government. Last but not least, I introduced a bill, H.R. 8452, to reform the Espionage Act. Daniel Ellsberg was the first person prosecuted under the 1917 Espionage Act for his act of bravery in releasing the Pentagon Papers to the Washington Post to publish classified documents that exposed the lies that were being told to the American people about what was really happening in the Vietnam War. Now, Snowden, Assange, and others are being prosecuted under this same Espionage Act. But as Daniel Ellsberg knows well, under current law, none of them are allowed to speak to the intent of their actions in court. My bill changes that. I'm urging my colleagues in Congress to stand up for the American people, to stand up for our freedoms, and pass this critical legislation now.
I see a direct tie-in with Assange and Snowden and the spying that took place on the Trump campaign. I see the direct link there. And guys like me who were warning about this for years, and I said always that Edward Snowden, I'm glad he did what he did. I'm glad he brought all this out to us. And people scream at me about it. And I say, but think of how dangerous it is, because people would bring up terrorism, you know. But then I would turn around and this is before we knew about the spying on the Trump campaign. I would turn around and I go, yeah, but think of what the government can do to you, to us. At the time, I had no idea even what the government was capable of doing with regards to getting involved in politics. But we've lived through this episode with President Trump, and in some ways we still are. You know, the frustration, I spoke to this earlier, a lot of people have, is that the FBI, the DOJ, they're not even looking into any allegations of election fraud, but they spent years torturing American citizens, you know, metaphorically, to try to go after this Russia collusion that was never there. They spent all this government time, the national security apparatus, the intelligence community, going after American citizens on this. And they won't even touch any allegations of voter fraud. It's amazing. Trump was asked about this over the weekend by Maria Bartiromo yesterday. Cut number 7.
Where is the DOJ and the FBI in all of this, Mr. President? You have laid out some serious charges here. Shouldn't this be something that the FBI is investigating? Are they?
Michigan action.
Is the DOJ investigating?
Michigan action. Can't tell you where they are. I ask, are they looking at it? Everyone says, yes, they're looking at it. Look, where are they with Comey, McCabe, and all these other people? You know, I said I'll stay out of it. I wish I didn't make that statement. There's no reason, really, why I have to. But where are they with Comey, with McCabe, with Brennan, with all these people? They lied to Congress. They lied. They leaked. They spied in our campaign. I see Carter Page is bringing a lawsuit. That's good news. Where are they with all of this stuff? And, you know, what happened to Durham? Where's Durham? So, you know, you're asking me a question. These people have been there a long time. And I know FBI, and FBI is great at the levels that we talk about. But it's inconceivable. You would think if you're in the FBI or Department of Justice, this is the biggest thing you could be looking at. Where are they? I've not seen anything. I mean, they just keep moving along and they go on to the next president. They've been there for a long time. People don't understand this. They've been there for a long time. Some of them have served a lot of different presidents. And they have their own.
And that really is the frustration that so many people feel right now, is they spent, you know, $100 million investigating Russia collusion. They tortured people like Carter Page, who's now suing them for $75 million. Michael Flynn, what he went through, and thank God the president finally pardoned him. I wanted him pardoned years ago. And you think about Snowden, you think about Assange, and bringing all this forward, bringing all this to light years ago. And a lot of people on our side of the aisle said they were traitors. I think that they were people that exposed the deep state for the very first time, really. And, you know, for Snowden, I mean, we had no idea just the limits of what the government would do with the violations of all these national security acts and everything like that. So I agree the president should grant clemency to Assange and Snowden 100%. And we need to encourage people, whistleblowers, to be able to come forward. I wish whistleblowers had come forward when Comey and Brennan and Clapper were pulling all this crap going after President Trump, you know. 855-839-1210 is the number. This is the big story of the day, brought to you by Merrill. Merrill Edge, self-directed, helps put investing within reach. Get started at MerrillEdge.com/withinreach. Merrill Lynch, Pierce, Fenner, and Smith Incorporated, registered broker-dealer, member SIPC. This is the media's reaction to the pardon against General Michael Flynn, who, again, by the way, never did anything wrong. They went after him under this stupid, arcane Logan Act that nobody's ever been prosecuted under. They got him for lying under the FBI. His conversations with Kislyak are no different than the incoming Biden administration, assuming this is what happens, Biden administration's conversations with foreign counterparts, too, only though now it's celebrated. Back then it was investigated. But this is how the media responded to the pardon granted against Michael Flynn. This is CNN's legal analyst Elise Honig. Cut 3.
I know we all saw this coming, and I know this pardon happened by tweet on the eve of Thanksgiving. But it's worth pausing for a second to appreciate just what a wild abuse of power this is. I mean, law school students 20, 30 years from now are going to be studying this. This is going to be high on the list of most dubious pardons we've ever seen in our history. And I'll give you two reasons. First of all, Michael Flynn was a political ally, a close political advisor, as you said, the national security advisor for the president. We've had a few that arguably fall into that category. Number two, though, and this is what makes it really a unique abuse of power, Michael Flynn was in the process of cooperating with prosecutors, with Robert Mueller, when the president started floating this possibility of a pardon. Here we are a couple years later. Flynn has been paid in full. He did not cooperate. And I think that's what separates this from other historically dubious pardons that we've seen.
Historically dubious pardon. See, this is the reaction from the media and the left. Not yeah, we got to make sure our government doesn't abuse citizens in this manner. It's dubious. It's just it's really a joke. We'll talk more about that in the days to come, because the question, of course, is will President Trump pardon himself before he leaves office? That is a question. And should he? Doesn't mean he did anything wrong. But does it then take the years of investigations that will happen against him by the federal government off the table? Something to think about. We'll talk about in the days to come. But let's say good morning to Dawn. It's Monday morning. It's raining out. I can hear it already. Good morning, Dawn.
Yes, good Monday morning. Going to be rainy, yes. So we do have this coastal flood advisory in effect. Powerful storm heading towards us. And for many regions, it's already there, like the Zioli's house. So be safe and be aware that this is happening. I'll start with good news. Thanks to Operation Warp Speed, Moderna announcing this morning it is asking U.S. and European health regulators to authorize its COVID-19 vaccine after it was shown to be 94% effective in full analysis. So this follows Pfizer and its vaccine, obviously. So experts say we could see both Pfizer and Moderna vaccines start to become available in the United States in mid to late December to frontline workers, of course, at first, like nurses and doctors, and then the most vulnerable. But the UK, we're told this morning, is set to become the first country in the world to approve a COVID-19 vaccine, with the UK's medical regulators likely to give this approval within days. So they're days away from approving drug maker Pfizer, by the way. So that could happen. They could see the first people being given this vaccine being, what did you say, inoculated is your word, being given this vaccine by December 7th.
Well, that was Pelosi's word.
Okay, that was, yeah.
Inoculated.
Was inoculated.
Her word from, 1907.
I'll always think of that now. By the way, President Trump sending well wishes to Joe Biden, who just turned 78. So Biden reportedly went to a doctor in Newark, Delaware last night, and doctors say Biden will wear a boot to heal his broken foot bone. Biden claiming the injury happened while playing with his rescue dog, who's named Major. But President Trump saying he sends well wishes that his foot heals soon. And the final story real quick.
He's going to hobble up to the podium, theoretically, to take the inauguration. Hobble on up. Bring out the gimp. He's going to be up there, limping along. Oh, one leg Biden. It's a good sign. They are already writing the articles for the 25th Amendment. It's just in Kamala's top drawer, I think, at this point.
Well, headline, this is going viral. The headline is Darth Vader died of COVID.
Darth Vader died?
So iconic Star Wars actor David Prowse, he was 85. He died after his daughter says, yes, he battled COVID-19 for weeks.
Oh, it's terrible.
So he was the actor behind famous supervillain Darth Vader in the original three Star Wars films.
Now, if I ask Bill Kornfeld who played Darth Vader, who do you say, Bill?
Well, I say James Earl Jones.
James Earl Jones.
Yeah.
That was the voice.
He was the guy in the Star Wars. He was the voice, but the guy who played Vader in the suit.
He was behind the mask.
Was this gentleman who's passed on.
Yes. So David Prowse, he was 6'6". This huge guy.
But did he really play Darth Vader?
I say yes, because did James Earl Jones feel up to the task of not only voicing it, but also walking around in that suit for the scenes in the three? I don't think he was. I think they just wanted him for the voice.
All right.
But the problem is that this actor will never be known. He'll be known for this week span, not even a week, and then sadly.
Well, no, all the nerds at Comic-Con probably love this guy. Everybody, and he probably was the one who spoke at all the conventions, right?
Yes.
You're never getting James Earl Jones there to speak.
True. Yeah,
but he's the perfect guy.
You know, this man probably was there all the time.
Yeah,
good
following.
For him, you know.
Yeah.
So,
by the way, finally, new data.
May God rest his soul.
Yes. Amen. New data shows online spending Black Friday notched a record.
Now can we kill Star Wars once and for all?
No, never.
Okay. The Mandalorian's
How
good.
How could you? So, yeah.
Right. Just saying.
We love KD Sackhoff. Okay, so Black Friday notched a record $9 billion this year. And today is Cyber Monday, expected to be the largest online shopping day in United States history, with shoppers expected to spend nearly 11 billion big ones. 11 billion. NBC 10 First Alert forecast today. It's going to be 66 degrees, high winds, heavy rain, storms, flooding, kind of a nasty day. It's supposed to clear out by 8 o'clock. And, of course, game time is 8:15. Tomorrow, cloudy, breezy, 47 degrees. And then Wednesday, we start a stretch with the sun coming out. But Wednesday, 45, Thursday, 50, Friday, warming up to 52, but sunny on those days. So we dry out there. I'm Dawn. This is the Yoli Show News Live, always on the radio.com app.
Thank you, Dawn. Appreciate it. Just how bad has Atlantic City fared because COVID? We're going to find out a great piece that was just written about Atlantic City and the struggle, which is very, very real among the casinos, the employees, everybody else. We'll talk about it straight ahead.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.